Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As we take a widescreen view of the whole Bible, we're exploring the drama of redemption, getting a quick overview from Genesis to Revelation. Today, more of the Old Testament will fly by, so listen closely and stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the drama of redemption. Now, Erwin Lutzer resumes a look at the Old Testament, beginning with its fourth book, the Book of Numbers.
Numbers, they're getting ready to go back into the land. Deuteronomy is a recap. It's a recap of what happened, and it's Moses' farewell speech. So that doesn't really advance the storyline either. So notice in your chart, it occurs at the bottom. Now, under Joshua, in the book of Joshua, they re-enter the same land. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, over the Jordan River, they enter into the land, and the land is conquered, and it is divided up under Joshua. But remember this, there are still pockets of resistance. Some of the Canaanites are still left in the land by design. God says, I'm leaving them there so that they can test you. God always leaves some enemies for Christians. That's why he doesn't exterminate the devil. The devil exists for the glory and the happiness and the victory of God's saints. Same reason why the Canaanites existed in Canaan. Now, after they are there, the period of the judges, you see, the judges are Israel trying to find leaders that will help them in their fight against the Canaanites, because these warring tribes continue to become very strong. When you get to 1 Samuel is basically the story of Israel's first king, namely Saul. And Saul turns out to be a great disappointment. But the people wanted a king, and so God says, I'm giving you Saul. And David begins to enter into the picture, though his story is most prominently displayed in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel is the story of David. And when you get to David, God gives another covenant to David. And God says, David, I'm going to, through your seed, give you a son who is going to rule forever. And it turns out to be Jesus. That's why, you see, the angel comes to Mary centuries later and says, he shall be great. He shall be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There you have the fulfillment of the Davidic promise, the beginning of the fulfillment of it. So David gets a special revelation from God. And then what you have is his famous son Solomon, and that opens 1 Kings. Solomon turns out to be a great builder, and he builds a temple in Jerusalem, and it was extravagant. If you'd have gone inside of it, you'd have seen all the gold that Solomon had there, because he loved to do things in a big way. He sacrificed thousands of animals. And Solomon also is one of the wisest people in the world. He's a psychologist's dream to analyze, because he is so wise. He writes books such as Proverbs. Most of them were written by him. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all of those books relate to Solomon and the temple. Now, if you go to Jerusalem and you have a guide, the guide will always talk about the first temple period. The first temple period. The first temple period is the period of Solomon. And let's suppose that he builds it in approximately 930 BC. And now, because we're BC, the numbers are going down as we get to the time of Christ. 586 BC, that temple is taken apart by the Babylonians, as you'll understand in a moment. And so that's a 350-year period, roughly. That's Israel's first temple period. Oh, wait until next week. Don't even think about not being here next week, because I'm going to explain Israel's second temple period and all of the intrigue that is involved there. So that is Solomon. And after Solomon dies, he designates a son by the name of Rehoboam and says, Rehoboam, you become king. Now, catch this, okay? Rehoboam is appointed by Solomon to be king. The people come to him and say, you know, your dad really taxed us. I mean, how else do you build the temple? And his hand was so oppressive in terms of taxation. Would you please reverse his policies and take this oppressive taxation away? Rehoboam says, well, give me time to figure this out. I'll tell you in 3 days. He goes to the old man, and the old man say, absolutely, the taxes are too high, cut them. He goes to the young men, and the young men said, hey, you know what you tell them? Your dad, my dad taxed you, but you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse. And so he goes to the people and takes the young man's advice and says, under me, things are going to be worse. Oh my, you were under my father's thumb, but you're going to be under my hand. 10 of the tribes have a tea party and say, absolutely not. We're revolting, and we're going to establish our own capital. And this is the period of what we call the divided kingdom. What you have now is Samaria, and Samaria is both a city as well as a region. And we're going to establish a capital in Samaria, and we're going to have our own kings, and we're going to have our own means of worship. Go to Jerusalem? Absolutely not. We're going to build our own temple on Mount Zerik. I know the word so well. Mount Gerizim. That's the word. Sometimes the computer finds it difficult to spit all this stuff out. We're going to have our own thing on Mount Gerizim. We're not going to Jerusalem. So from now on, you have Judah in the south and some of the tribe of Benjamin. And you have the 10 tribes to the north under an entirely different king. And in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, what you have is two different lines of kings. You have kings who are ruling over Israel, it always says, and you have kings who are ruling from Judah, namely from Jerusalem. When you go to Israel, as I studied there in 1968, I had the privilege, I don't think tourists can do that today, to actually go to Samaria, the town of Samaria. We were at Jacob's Well. And there in Samaria, you still have the ruins of the palace. And who lived in that palace? Well, Ahab did, with his infamous wife, Jezebel. So you see, you had kings like that ruling. You had prophets like Elijah and Elisha going to Ahab, and telling him to repent and so forth. And so you've got that whole history. Now you have another line of kings beginning in Judah, and you've got that whole history. And the kingdoms are divided. And it's during the time of the divided kingdom, you have all of the prophets arising, because idolatry is everywhere. People are building shrines on every single hill, and they are sacrificing to the pagan gods, and they're doing it with a great deal of gusto. And the prophets are saying, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. And then you have false prophets. That's why Jeremiah gives chapter after chapter about false prophets who are saying, good times ahead. Nothing but prosperity. And the false prophets are preaching that. The true prophets are saying, judgment, 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 judgment. You take, for example, Isaiah, one example. He is in the southern kingdom. He's going to be exercising his ministry to the kings of the south in Jerusalem. And it says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So there you are. He had such a long ministry. It spanned 4 or 5 different kings. Now, what happens is this. By the way, look at your chart. All this today for you. Do you notice that 1st and 2nd Chronicles don't advance the story, because they are the same history as 1st and 2nd Kings, except that they give a different perspective? When you watch football, do you notice that oftentimes they have two people? There's one who calls the plays, and then there's another guy in the booth too. He's adding color commentary. He's adding things that the other left out. Listen, I was reading some chapters in Chronicles the other day. They are so full and so rich. I'm going to be receiving phone calls and all kinds of things, thanking me that you got beyond Leviticus and you are now in Chronicles, because you are going to be blessed. Everybody's going to be blessed. Now, what happens? And look at this. This is in your chart too. I just can't believe this. You'll notice that Israel is the north, Judah is the south. Look at the bottom of your chart. Do you see that diagram? Notice what happens in 722 BC to Israel, the 10 tribes. Assyria comes down. Assyria says, we're going to conquer you. Assyria takes 27,000 Jewish people. That was a lot of people in those days. And they take them to Assyria. And what happens to them? They are lost. They're the 10 lost tribes. They were integrated into the other nations, and that's it. Years ago, there was a group called the British Israelites. The British Israelites were those who says that the people of Britain are the 10 lost tribes. But there's no evidence for that. They are totally obliterated in the sense that their identity has been lost. And what the Assyrians did is they brought other people that they had conquered to settle there in the land of Samaria. Centuries pass. What do we read in the New Testament? The Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Why? Because they were a mixed race. They were Assyrians. There were some Jews, you know, who still stayed in the land. They intermarried. They lost their identity. They had pagan worship on Mount Gerizim. And that's the end. And Jesus comes and he has to go through Samaria, the Bible says. And there's a Samaritan woman. Who knows what her race was? And he sits with her and he explains the gospel. And she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. My friend, I am so glad that you have joined us today, because I believe it is so important for you to understand the Bible storyline. We are much better able to grasp the message of the Bible when we see the books in relationship and to understand its history. That's why at the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive these messages either on DVD or CD, and we'll also send you a chart. It's a chart that we gave our people here at the Moody Church so that you can see books in relationship, and especially if you are interested in reading the Bible through in a year, it will help you to understand how one book leads to another. And by the way, remember the main message of the Bible is regarding Jesus Christ, and that's why we've entitled this series, The Drama of Redemption. Can't help but conclude and ask you a simple question. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? Have you believed on Him? Because if so, you belong to the drama of redemption as well, but if not, you'll be lost. Contemplate your eternal existence today. God bless you. Hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer is rapidly working his way through the Old Testament in his series on The Drama of Redemption. Next time, we'll pick up right here with The Divided Kingdom, so plan to join us. The Drama of Redemption can be yours on CD or DVD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.